Amen.
I said amen. All right. Kick off into what we want to teach today. It's our school of exegesis. We're trying to understand what the Bible says when it says a lot of things. I just always like to emphasize this point anytime we gather like this. I like to emphasize the point that in this our school teach slightly differently on other days, and now it's more exhortational today. What we just try to do is to just look at the Bible, see what it's saying. Of course, you cannot help but apply it to life all the time. You can't help it. It is the word of God. But Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22, if you read the story there, the people were arguing. They said, no, it was the story about the Sadducees. They were trying to explain to Jesus Christ that resurrection didn't make sense, except it is possible for one woman to marry seven brothers at the same time. And their reason is that a particular man had a wife, and the man died and left no children. Therefore, according to the commandment of Moses, his younger brother took up the woman as his wife. And they all, from the second down to the seventh, married the woman. He now said, in the resurrection, therefore, whose wife of the seven will she be? For they all had married her. And he said, this is the reason why you are mistaken. Verse 29. He said, you are mistaken, not understanding the scriptures, nor the power of God. That is, if you are understood basically that in the resurrection there is neither marrying or giving in marriage, that they are like angels in heaven who do not lay claim to wives and husbands. He said, if you had understood that, you would not even have used that argument, all right? There would have been no premise on that at all, trying to bring up an argument. What does that mean? That when we have misconceived ideas, when we do not have a good understanding of the scriptures, we get into a lot of unnecessary arguments, and we hold on to wrong beliefs just because of a simple lack of understanding of what the Bible was saying when it was saying some things. And that's why we are here every Monday this way, to explain some things about the word of God. It's important that I keep on emphasizing that, you know, a lot of time, maybe because of the kind of person I am, you know, my kind of leaning in life, a lot of times I hear people preach and they build up strong doctrines on very, very erroneous basic interpretation of scripture. Some of it a matter of just grammar. That is, if you just read your grammar well, you will know that what you are saying does not make sense. I would like to just use this as an example again. Maybe it will help some of us. Sometimes people are arguing. They say that these arguments come up about tithing. Are Christians supposed to tithe or not? And people say that God never commanded Christians to tithe because there's nothing like that in the New Testament. Others say it is there. You guys just didn't see it. So they bring up two arguments. And that one, that Jesus said, this you should have done without neglecting the other. And that in Hebrews chapter 7, he said, there mortal men pay tithes, but here mortal men pay tithes, but there it is said that he received them who lives forever. And then when I look at those two arguments, now I'm not talking about whether tithe is right or wrong now at all. I'm not even trying to imply anything concerning that. I'm just trying to explain that when you look at that, when people bring up such arguments, I say, look at it. Number one, the statements of Jesus Christ under such circumstances were made under the Old Testament. It does not qualify for what we call the New Testament. You understand that point? It doesn't. It was made under the Old Testament. Old New Testament started after the death of Jesus Christ. All right? And then the second thing, if you read, that's one that interests me the most, Hebrews chapter 7. He said, all you need to do is just read that one in the non-King James Bible. And it's so clear that he was telling a story. And in the story, he was, you know, trying to narrate something, that there were two events he was trying to compare. In one, Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek, and in the other one, the children of Israel gave tithes to the priests. So he said, there, Abraham and Melchizedek, and here, the children of Israel and the priests. But when people want to interpret it, they say, there means in heaven, when you are paying tithes on the earth, Jesus is collecting it I'm sorry to use the word, it's arrant nonsense. I'm not judging tithe now. I'm not saying it's right or it's wrong. I'm not making any statement about that. I'm just saying that, look, when people use such expressions to try to explain the scriptures, I really get disappointed. That I know the same people will tell you that, why don't you read the Bible in context? I said, why didn't you read that one in context? In fact, the other day, when I was discussing with my wife, I said, just read it. She said, I said, read that thing well. Just ask yourself. Of course, there's nobody who understands English. You give that thing to read, even in the King James, that will not even understand it. So even if you leave King James and go to any other Bible, it's always clear. All right? I'm just using this one to explain the point. The reason why we do the things that we do on Mondays is just to bring the light. You know, basic things, not deep revelation. Some of them may appear deep to some people, but it's just so that we'll understand what the Bible is saying when it's saying things. You follow my point? All right, so let's go on to what the thing we are discussing today. Now, of course, today we are going to continue from where we stopped last week. And last week we talked about the effect of sin and the necessity for cleansing. There were a number of points I made, which I would like to just itemize a few of them, if I can, in a few minutes. I'm watching myself so I don't start all over again. One, I said that sin has power. And sin is not a matter of moral discussion. Are you getting my point? That is, you see, in our places it's right, in our places it's not right. That's not the issue. The issue about sin is that it's like you buy an appliance. If you use it wrongly, you damage it. If you use it properly, you get blessing from it. It's not a matter of whether the person who manufactured it likes you or not. It's a matter of the configuration of the appliance. And that's the way life is. Spiritual things control this earth. And anytime you do things that are not correct according to God's standards, what you have done is that you have sinned. And we said that it stains even things that are in the heavens. We came to understand that the things on the earth are affected by the sin of the people. That Jesus and that God told the Israelites that these were the things that the people did, and the land became polluted and it vomited up its inhabitants. That is, sin pollutes the land. Sin is not that somebody doesn't like it. Wrongdoing pollutes the land. And we saw that it also pollutes things that are in the heavens. Because the Bible says that the things that are in the heaven needed to be cleansed by better sacrifices than the one of blood, the blood of bulls and goats. And it was referring there to the blood of Jesus Christ. When I tried to bring out the point that when it says things like that needed to be cleansed, I gave an example of short-circuiting an appliance, an equipment. What the blessings that God gives you are in the heavens. God says, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it. Now, when it says like that, that blessing is in the heavens. And on the earth, men need to receive the blessing of God. David said that, who do I have in heaven but thee, O Lord? And on the earth, I do not need any man. What he was saying is that if I have God in the heaven, I don't need anybody on the earth. I am not depending on anybody. I'm just relying on God. So we explained that the blessings in the heavens, for them to be conducted down to this earth, the channel must be smooth. If you read Isaiah chapter 40, he said that, make a smooth path for the Lord in the wilderness, and the blessing of God, or say the glory of God, will appear. In the same manner, if you make a smooth path for the blessing of God that's in the heavens, on the earth also, they will become manifested. So he was saying that sin short circuits that pathway. Sin prevents the channel from coming down smoothly. So God said there has to be a cleansing. So when men sin, they prevent the blessing of God from coming to the earth. One of the things I learned very well from Kenneth Hagin in my many years and many hours of reading him, I read virtually all Kenneth Hagin books. The only book, Kenneth Hagin book I haven't read are the Daily Devotionals, like the Faithful series. All those ones that are like Faithful for Autumn, Faithful for Winter. I'm not good with Daily Devotionals. I tend to buy them, but I usually don't read them. Now, apart from that, I read virtually every single one of Kenneth Hagin's book, and not just once, but several times each one of them. Now, one of the things I learned in reading Kenneth Hagin is that he explained, and I want to just help us understand this, that if you are not walking in the will of God, that it's not as if God is judging you or God is punishing you. And I explained that last week, that when God is disciplining his children, it is not a matter of just recompense of reward. It is disciplining so that they will be able to receive eternal life. Are you getting my point? So as to turn the heart of a man away from his wrongdoing into right doing. So Ken Hagin said that what God does is not to punish somebody, but that when you are in a place, you know, spiritual things are interesting. It's just now I'm even connecting what he said with what we are teaching. He said when you are in a place that God has not ordained for you to be, or you are not walking in a manner that God had ordained for you to walk, it will not be possible for God to bless you. that the Lord Jesus will tell him that I bless them as much as I can. Let me emphasize one point. You know, part of understanding the scriptures and understanding the power of God. God is not as, in quote, powerful as we think. Now, God is omnipotent, I know. But you see, there are things that can inhibit God's power. People think that, you know, God can do just about anything he likes anytime he wants to do it. It's not really like that. God, if he did things like that, would be absolutely lawless. And God is not a lawless person. Let me explain this. Once, you may have heard me use this illustration before, because one of the most beautiful illustrations I have to explain this. I was having a discussion with somebody, an ordained minister of the gospel, a medical doctor also. He said, I was explaining to him why Judas was used by God to do what he did. And that Judas had to merit the position. Do you know what I mean by meriting? That he had to do something to make God use him. And the man said, no. We cannot question God. God is sovereign. God can do anything he likes. I said, in that case, do you know what they call justice? It is not justice to punish a man that you forced to do what he didn't want to do at all. That cannot be justice. Are you getting my point? In fact, even in the law, in the course of law, we know if it is proven that confession was coerced out of somebody, it is not admissible as evidence. Am I wrong?
Right,
I'm very right. A man can sign and say, I confess that I was one that did it. But if he goes to court and proves that you forced him to say that, I mean, they throw it out instantly. Are you getting my point? That's just the way God is. He's a just God. One of the things that marked out the ministry of Charles Finney was that he brought up that issue of the justice of God or the righteousness of God, that God is not stupid. You can say God just does anything. Like, he makes a man a sinner. The man cannot help but sin, but he makes him a sinner, so he has no choice but sin. Then if he dies in his sin, and then he punishes him for being a sinner, you say, what kind of madness is that? Are you getting my point? Charles Finney went everywhere trying to explain to people that that's not how God is. If you go to hell, it's because you chose to go to hell. That the justice of God, the fairness of God, the righteousness of God is that it gives you the opportunity to go to heaven or go to hell. Are you getting the point? Now, I'm explaining something. So we're talking about the power of God. The man said that God can make anybody do anything. I said, it's not so. Every man decides. God, you see, it's just that the way we decide in life, we don't understand that way. Are you following my point? We are still the ones that decide, but we don't realize that it was our decision. We do things, like we taught in one of our radio series, we do things during the days of young manhood, then the reward begins to come during the days of old manhood. You understand what I mean by that English? And then we now say that, why me? Why are things happening to me like this? Why are things happening to me like this? You know? But so I'm bringing out a point here that God is just. It doesn't just, when we're talking about the power of God like that, it's not as if God just gets up and does just anything he likes at any time that he likes it. No. So he was explaining, Hagin was saying that God wants to bless people, but he tries to bless them, but he can't bless them. It's funny. They say, but God, you can just bless people any way you like. No, it's not like that. God says that thou shalt serve the Lord thy God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy waters. If you want the blessing of God on your bread and your waters, there are things that are called the service of God that you must be seen to be doing. Are you getting my point? That's the way God does it. He said, whatever God has joined together, let no man even attempt to put it asunder. There are things that God has tied together by himself. He said, nobody can put them asunder. It's called order. Are you following my point? It's called order. So God says, if there is no cleansing of the things in the heaven, no matter how much I desire, in fact, it's clear in the scriptures, let it not appear as if I'm the one just saying the things I like. God said, I looked for a man to stand in the gap, so that I will not pour forth my indignation upon these people. I did not find, therefore, my... Are you getting my point? That is, that God's purpose, God's desire, was that he will not pour forth his wrath. But he said, but I looked for somebody to say don't. And nobody said it. Are you getting my point? That is, he desired something. Jesus looked at Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem. How I would have loved, but you see, now I can't. There's what the Bible calls tempting God in the wilderness and limiting the Holy One of Israel. That's what I mean by when you say that God is not like powerful the way we, you know, we are used to rogue power. You know, you understand my point? The powers that we use, you know, just do what we like. If the door is locked, you break it down. You follow my point? So that's why there has to be a cleansing of the things in the heavens. You understand that? Now, we read that last week, didn't we? Yeah, we did. That will be from Hebrews chapter 9. All right, so I'm going to continue from there. So we said that is why Sin, there must be a cleansing. I've explained two things here. Sin stains, and there must be a cleansing. Now, what I want to go on to talk about today is still in those lines, and we're going to read a text of the scriptures to begin that discussion from Revelation chapter 5. I want to explain something. The principle I want to bring out today is for you to understand that before creation of mankind, before this world, what God did was to prepare positions for people to fill. And depending on the, that is each position that he had thus prepared has certain responsibilities and certain blessings attached. Are you following what I'm saying? And I'm going to use this along these lines, that is, the line of the sacrifice of God, the Lamb of God. I want to explain some things about it. And then when Jesus spoke to his disciples and said, are you able to drink the cup that I'm going to drink? There are certain things that he was saying. All right, so open your Bibles. You have Revelation chapter 5. He said, I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a book written inside and on the back, sealed up with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to break its seals? Now, let me just use this to explain a point. You will see that it was the worthiness of the person that was in question, not on the gra-gra-ness of the person. You know something by gra-gra-ness? That's, I just manufactured that. It's not the boldness. It's not how strong the person feels. It's whether the person really is qualified. That's what the Bible is talking about. It said, verse 3, and no one in heaven and on the earth or under the earth was able to open the book or to look into it. Then I began to weep greatly because no one was found worthy to open the book or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, stop weeping. Behold, the lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome so as to open the book and its seven seals. And I saw between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders a lamb standing, as if slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. When he had taken the book, verse 8, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. He said, you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. Verse 11 says, then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the living creatures and the elders. And the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Now, let me just complete the whole chapter. And every created thing which is in the heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them I heard saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. And the four living creatures kept saying, amen. And the elders fell down and worshipped. Now, I want to bring out a few points here. You will see something, and I'm not going into eschatology or discussing this in details, but there are some important principles that are highlighted in Revelation chapter 5. John said, I saw some things in heaven, a book needed to be opened, and this, of course, the opening of this book obviously had great consequences. And when nobody was found, as I explained earlier, it wasn't because of boldness, it was because of worthiness that we're talking about. Is this person worthy? It's now said, a lamb, of course, he said the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, Then when they were going to describe the lion, to his surprise, they looked at a lamb. Do you understand my point? That the spiritual strength is not what it appears like physically. Are you following the point I'm making? They said the lion that is from the tribe of Judah. He said, where is the lion? He saw a lamb, not only a lamb, but one that appears as if somebody killed it. And he said, that is a lion. Are you serious about that? You get my point? That spiritually speaking, there were things in being a lamb and the fact that he was slain that made him so strong spiritually that he could open those seals. You are getting the point. Now, what were those things? He said, because you were slain. Now, you have to get this point. He was not the first person to be killed. All right? But because in his own killing, by that process of shedding his blood, he purchased for God men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. I'm trying to bring out a principle here about the Lamb of God. I want to explain some things about this cleansing of sin and some of the consequences he had after that. Notice what I'm saying again. Let me emphasize it, please. I wanted to say something that before creation, God put some things in order, put some things in place. Let me explain this in the way to come down to us. MDs of companies, all right, is the man who will be worthy that gets there. Do you understand my point? I mean, you should get this very solidly in your heart. Every position you hold on this earth is a mission. I have read through the scriptures well. I have never even seen. You know, God is interesting. You know, Bible says that God is love, and God does not seek his, love does not seek his own. It appears to me that what you call reward with God is opportunity to be of greater service. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I have never seen God really settle people down and say, now, settle down. The chop-chop life. Are you getting my point? God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, if he exalts you, you know, he has exalted you to a higher position of responsibility. You are getting what the point I'm making here. So, I said positions are created in life before people were ever made. God will say, this is the position of an MD as an example. Maybe it's because of Yinka, I'm talking this kind of MD thing now. I don't know. Because as soon as he came in, I started talking about MDs. That it is not the man that chops the biggest salary and drives the fattest car. All right? That is not what describes the MD. What describes him really is that the company exists or is sustained because of him. Let me explain this to us again. Nothing in this life is ever sustained by itself. Are you following my point? There is always a spiritual power emanating from a creature of God, one of God's men, that are sending out the power to keep something sustained. The Bible says, if you read Hebrews chapter 1, he said, he upholds all things by the word of his power. Are you following my point? He said, behold, I and the children that the Lord has given me, we are for signs and for wonders. That is, all these children that God has given me, each one also has a position he's supposed to occupy, and in that position, he will be upholding these things that are relevant to him by the word of his power. You are getting my point? That these are positions that God created for people to occupy. You know, there's something. This story just came to my mind. I want to just add it to this. On Saturday, I was telling us a story about a movie I bought at the Animated Pictures, cartoon for my kid. And I watched it, Valiant. You know, the guy was, the pigeon was joining the Royal Pigeon Service. They were going to carry secret messages during the Second World War. There was a part of it that really made me laugh. There were two pigeons, one a crook pigeon and this pigeon of big spirit, like I spent on Saturday. So the crooked pigeon wanted to run away from the camp where they were being trained. The valiant pigeon now came out and said, where are you going? The guy said, listen, man, I don't understand what's going on. We didn't start this war. I'm going back to Trafalgar Square. We didn't start this war. He said, did we make this? He pointed to tanks around. Did we make those? That is pointed to planes, you know, where they were parked. He said, no, we didn't start this war. So, me, I'm going back. So the small pigeon looked at him and said, Trafalgar Square, did we make it? He said, we didn't make those also. We made that place also. He said, and then what happens when they start dropping bombs there? He said, listen, I'm staying back. I'm doing my bit. Are you following my point? And I said, look, this has lessons in life that even pigeons understand, but a lot of human beings don't. That is, in life, you have to have power to uphold something. Are you getting my point? That is, it is not your responsibility to get up and start saying that things are not working. Are you following my point? The idea is that we should search out for those that will make them work. Who is the person that God has put in that position to speak the word that will make it work? I don't mean that he's the one praying, because there are two sides to it. When a man prophesies, a prophet of God is praying. That is what I call a spiritual prophet. But there is a physical prophet, another man like himself, who effects the download of the spirit into the physical realm. Are you getting my point? That is, in the heavens, one guy speaks and opens the door, but another one must be present on the earth. You know, once. You know, because the first man's speech, the first man's prayer breaks the thing down from heaven and it gets down to the earth. But another one must receive it so that by his hands, things will be done. Are you getting my point? That is when Daniel prayed, he opened the heavens and release was proclaimed for the children of Israel. But God now said, see Cyrus, I have appointed him to make my oppressed go free. Do you understand the point I'm making? Two of them doing the same thing. One man doing in the realm of the spirit, another one obeying God in the physical realm. So God is saying that if in each position, I have placed different people to maintain things by the word of their power. That the reason why a nation will prosper will be because things are being maintained by the word of the people in authority. Are you getting my point? That's why when David went to battle and somebody was trying to kill him, his men said, you will no longer go with us to battle, lest the light of Israel or the lamp of Israel be quenched. What was he saying? That is, you are the reason why Israel is prospering right now. Are you getting my point? That is, because of David, Israel was prospering. And that was what Jesus meant when he said, I am the light of the world. The same thing we're talking about. Now, when Solomon became king, because God promised abundance to Solomon, you find out that the rest of Israel prospered. So that if you had silver in Israel and you kept it on the floor, nobody was tempted to take it. It was not worth anything. That is, like they said about Bill Gates, that Bill Gates makes so much money that if you were to pour dollars on the floor and tell the man to be bending down to pick it, that is a waste of time. He makes more money working in Microsoft than bending down to pick dollars free of charge. You get my point? You understand what I'm saying? Now, that is, now you're following the point I'm making here. So, each person is a light. You understand? So, God was explaining that there is a position. I'm trying to emphasize something about those positions. That in each position that you are a light to a generation. You understand my point? That it's not as if now we have exalted Joseph for being honest in his father's house, for being honest in Potiphar's house, for holding on to integrity in the face of persecution. And now we have made him prime minister in Egypt. No. Not at all. It's not as if the man is now settled. In his settlement, you understand my point? Now, he said himself, God sent me here to preserve the lives of many. That is, if I was in jail, whose life will I preserve? In the house of Potiphar, whose life will I preserve? But now, in this position, God has sent me to preserve the lives of many people. Are you getting the point I'm making here? So I'm trying to use that one to explain the issue of positions. So God created those positions before we were born, before this creation came to be. Please, I'm saying all the things I've been saying to reorient the minds of believers. Because if you don't get your mind straight, you know something happened today. A man came to me and let me just say what I want to say then. I'll tell you what happened today. So that you have to get your mind straight and start thinking like God. When he said that, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's so important that we do that. You know, because when you begin to think like God, we're going to talk about that one of those days in one of our Saturday teachings. It becomes natural and automatic for the things that many people are laboring for to actually come to you. Without you trying for it. Are you getting my point? That physical things are controlled by spiritual things. If you have the right thought pattern, the right forces coming out of your spirit, you will attract the necessary things without you ever having to shout for them. Are you following my point? Now, you know, let me tell you something that I said happened in the office today. A man came to me, vying for a very important position. And he came to campaign. I'm supposed to vote. I'm one of the people who vote for that position. You know, he said many things. He finished speaking and left me. And so I thought in my mind, somebody came after, I said, this guy was here, see his flyers. He said, we should vote for him. I said, well, he said, are you voting for him? I said, well, why not? There are three people contesting. One, I don't know at all. The other two, I know, this guy being one of them. And since he came first, why not? Let me give him my vote. It's all right, fine. Then my phone rang like 10 minutes after. And somebody, I got a call from the US. My friend called from New York. And I said, oh, your guy just left here. He said, who? I mentioned the guy's name. He's contested for this position. And he said to me, oh, that guy. He said, you can vote for him. But any year that he's in office, don't pay your dues. I said, why not? He said, I've known him. All the years we're together, his idea, his mindset about making money is occupying an important position. I said, are you serious? He said, yes, if you want, vote for him, but please, don't pay your dues. Because those dues. Now, you know, I just said, wow, that vote's gone. So when I dropped the phone, the other guy said, what was that? I told him, he said, are you serious? He said, I'm not voting for him. That is, rather than then, he lost like 3 votes, and we transferred the 3 votes to his opponent. Why? Because he didn't understand that God said the positions are meant for sustaining things. Are you getting my point? That when you occupy a position, you are supposed to sustain that position, certain things, by the word of the power that is ascribed to that position. You are getting my point? That this guy's mindset is that I will occupy a position and use it to enrich myself. Now, I'm trying to get us to understand all of this. So when we see things not working, there are 2 things we should do. Jesus said, pray that the Lord of harvest will send laborers into his harvest field. That it's necessary we pray that God send the right person to occupy the position of the president, for example, in the country, because the word of the king, the Bible says, where that word is, there is power. Are you getting my point? The word of the king is powerful. Whether it's democracy or it's not democracy, it is powerful. As honest as you think Americans are, George Bush can make a man a millionaire like this. I'm telling you. No, look, and he does it every day. It's just that you don't know. It's only a few of them that become scandals. Are you getting my point? There's no president in the world that in a minute cannot turn one man into a millionaire. All he needs to do is call a friend of his and say, this is my policy, I'm announcing it tomorrow. That guy becomes a millionaire instantly. In a country like America. You just know the presidential policy that's been announced next week. You know how the stock market will respond. You buy the right stocks and offload the right ones. That's it. You're made. I'm explaining the point that everywhere, even in the seat of democracy, listen, America is in Iraq because George Bush wanted them to go to Iraq. Where the word of the king is, there is power. Now, whether that power is used properly or is used wrongly depends on that king. Let me emphasize this to you again. Because, you know, I keep on saying this, the fact that you are doing something that appears to work doesn't mean you are doing the right thing. Because, like, I'm talking as a preacher now. God gives you an audience. You can say anything you like to the audience. Do you understand my point? There are certain things you do, because this is one thing about God. You know, you occupy a position. I told you, the way you get a result is the way you sustain it. It doesn't guarantee you anything. You did some things to merit it. You have to do certain things to remain there. So certain times, a lot of times, men have reached positions because maybe they prayed. Because they committed certain things to God. Because they work in a particular manner. And then when the position hits them, they see the devilish potentials and they don't realize it is evil. Do you understand my point? That is, as a preacher now, God gives you an audience. 1 million people. Listen, it is so easy to get 1 million people that love you to give you 100 naira. You know that. So you can look at it and say, man, this is simple. I told you, the Moshakarian, a preacher came to him and said, this man, you are stupid. Look at opportunity. Like I always say, opportunity to do what? I saw a photograph of Oluchi, Face of Africa, the other day. And I said, if her mother sees this, she will be ashamed. And I said, I remember when this girl was going to go abroad. She won Mnet Face of Africa. And people say it's her opportunity. I said, 17-year-old girl, opportunity to become what? A good woman, responsible woman, blessing her generation, or become a harlot in New York. Tell me the opportunity you are discussing. I saw her photograph the other day, and I felt bad. I said, your mother sees this, she will feel bad that this is my daughter. She was virtually stark naked and not even smiling. Looked like a dazed appearance. I don't know how many of you saw the newspaper. I was ashamed. That is, no, I'm telling you. I smiled. I said, what? I said, I wasn't surprised. This was going to get to this one. They say $150,000. I said, which lie did they tell you? That poor girl never won $150,000. She won $150,000 worth contract to work for 3 years. Is that her price? People just don't realize it. They got her a deal to walk up and down half naked at $50,000 per annum. And I said, look at blind people. Blind people. If any other thing motivated you more than the money, then I will have respect. But $50,000 per annum, the day you don't go to work, you don't get it. You don't get the point. And I say, you are giving me a price, God punish all of you. You call that a price? Is that a price? If I play lottery, I get my money. No, be so. The other time you give me a price. At $50,000, I've forgotten. It is United States of America. $50,000 puts you in a tax bracket of at least 25%. Nobody is giving you free housing. You eat your food from it. Unfortunately, when you retire from that, you have nothing to fall back on. You didn't finish secondary school safe. I beg. Waiting concern Oluchi. Let us get back to our biblical exegesis. I beg. So I was just explaining that sometimes people see position, they don't understand that in every position there is a responsibility. So he was saying that there is a Lamb of God that qualified for a particular position, and that position, one of the things he does is to open seals. But I'm using that to bring out the point that there was a reason why he qualified. He said he was slain and he bought for God from every tribe, every race. He bought for them, for God, men from all these places. Are you getting the point I'm making? So I was trying to explain that that's the way God ordained it. That each one, before we were born, he created positions. And what we are doing in life, actually, is to qualify for those positions. Don't forget the parables of Jesus Christ. What did he say? That a certain man went out to go and take kingdoms for himself. Then he gave talents to some of his men. And according to how they used the talents, equally, he shared it. It wasn't different. That the one man made turn his own to 10 talents from one. Another one turned his own to 5. Another one turned his own to 2. And one buried his own. Now, there are two different parables. There was a parable he gave 10, 5, 2, 1. But there was a parable in which he gave equal amount and one made his own into 10. The one that made his own into 10, he said, here are 10 cities. Be Lord. Are you getting the point? Over these cities. Not chop, chop these cities. More responsibility. Don't ever forget that thing about God. That one of the things that will preserve your life as a child of God, a servant of God, is to understand that every promotion is another responsibility. And it qualifies you for another promotion. There is nothing like, it's my time. It's my time. It's like I keep on saying, your time to do what? I've seen preachers who, I'm sorry to say, you know, I have a problem sometimes as a person. When I listen to a preacher, sometimes it's hard to get blessed. It's so hard. Now, I used to think I had the problem, but it's not known. There's no reason I get problem. Some of the people, they are just talking. They don't know they should keep quiet. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? No, it's true. Because there are men who I don't even totally agree with, but they are a blessing to me every time. Because fundamentally, the spirit they are bringing out. Are you getting my point? You might disagree on letters, but there is a spirit they are communicating every time they open their mouth to speak. People like Derek Prince won't talk and tell me that, you know, even if you don't agree with the letter, what he's saying, you better listen to the spirit. You read you cannot get more blessed than that man can bless you with the spirit. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? So a lot of young preachers, they start talking, you see their wrong spirit emanating. It's my time. Your time to do what? It's my time. I have paid my dues. What do you mean? Listen, with God, you pay the dues that qualify to the next position, and from that position, you start paying the one that qualifies you for the next, and from that one, you keep on paying. If it is dues you are talking about, that's the way it is with God. Are you following my point? Listen, you know, you want to live long as a servant of God? There's nothing like, yes. There was a time we were believing God, we have stopped believing God now. We don't believe. God is just with us. I don't want our rubbish. Do you understand my point? Satan has a connive with you to end your life when you start talking that kind of thing. Are you getting my point? There is nothing like it's my time. Every time that you have more responsibilities. I used to say that, there was a time I wasn't preaching to anybody. But then, you know, then I didn't have to rack my head and be phoning. You say, Meka, please, I hope you are there. I'm coming. I'm sitting in the car. And you grumble. Then when you say that, you bring out your computer. You say, because people are waiting. Look. It's your time to do what more people are listening to, more responsibilities. I was telling Annie the other day, I said, I'm resting now. I said, what happened? I said, we are repeating our earliest radio broadcast. I said, at least nobody will know that then we're not famous. And even those who heard it then, they will have probably forgotten. And they laughed. So you'll be surprised. There are some people are thinking that this man is getting lazy. He said, sit down there. When he said it, I said, my God. Ah. I said, okay, after this set of repeats, we shall stop repeats again. Then we'll start preaching again. I said, yeah. Kingsley, you know how we used to sweat. Hey, Saturday, it was in front that I appeared one day. I was wondering what's wrong with this man. Kingsley and I, we had removed our shirts. The place was so hot. So I had to explain to her, don't be afraid. It is I, be not afraid. We are just preaching for radio. Because it was so hot, we didn't have a soundproof room, of course. So the place we were using, the place is hot, and we're preaching. I said, now you are back. I come off my shirt. Now come on, shirt. Kingsley to remove the shirt. And we continued preaching. Then somebody opened the door and said, what is going on here? you are following my point? People like Billy Graham, I don't know about now, but then they used to book his meetings 2 years ahead of time. Bishop Odebo was preaching once. He said that this was in May. He said that May, he had only had 6 days free from preaching since January. And then he was not half as famous as he is right now. That he had had only 6 days free since January. Oh, I beg, let's get back to the main thing we are saying. You have to get these things into your mind first as a child of God. I know this is not the main, we're talking about cleansing of sin and all that, but let's just get these principles. Life is a response. That's, you see, when you say things don't work, you know, that's why I started by saying all of these things. Things don't work is not your job for commenting. It's what am I supposed to do to make some things work? In every position, you have power. Are you getting my point? Everywhere in life, you are actually occupying a position in which you are speaking words that's upholding certain things. You are getting my point? You are following the point I'm making? All right? And that, so what you need to do is say, what is my position? What am I supposed to be saying? What am I supposed to be upholding? Very critical, we understand that. All right, so I just wanted to bring that one into our heart. Now, where was I before I got into that matter? Okay, yeah, I was saying something, that he was not the only, first person to be slain. Yes, I remember that was the way I broke off from the main thought that we were discussing. I said, this is not the first person to be slain. That what made the difference is that he was slain without sinning. Are you getting my point? He was killed without qualifying for that death. And he introduced that scripture, that thought in a particular place. I want us to read it, and then from there I'll kick off again. If you read from John chapter 14, now the Lord was giving some farewell speech to his disciples, was explaining some things to them. From verse 29. He said, now I have told you before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe. He said, I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of the world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded me. He said, get up, let us go from here. Now, there's something I want us to notice from here. Sometimes, I've heard Muslims say this. When they read from the scriptures that Jesus said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? They say, I remember one Islamic cleric preaching. He said, he was a servant of God. God could not have forsaken him. That is, these Christians don't know what they are saying. In my mind, that's why you are not a Christian. If you were a Christian, you wouldn't talk that kind of rubbish. The issue is that you don't have understanding. He was a servant of God, but there's a principle. There was something that he was doing, which we need to understand. Quickly, let's read Isaiah chapter 53. What I want to bring out is this issue of the fact that he laid down his life for many. Just to read it from verse 4. He said, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And he said, yet we are still stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. What he was saying is that what was wounding him was our transgressions. Bruised for our iniquities. What was bruising him was our iniquities. That is, the chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Why? Because all we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way. But what the Lord has done is to lay upon him the iniquity of us all. Are you getting the point? He said, for that reason he was oppressed and was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Now he was explaining some things. Let me just go down to verse 9. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence. That's what I want to bring out. Nor was any deceit in his mouth. He said, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. Now notice this. He said, when you make his soul an offering for sin. I want to explain something about the word sin. This is exegesis. We want to understand the scriptures properly. He said, when you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Now, I want you to bring something to your mind again. As from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, which we read often. They say, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. People say that he turned Jesus to sin. Jesus became sin. Now, let me tell you, let's not deceive ourselves. That doesn't make any grammatical sense. It does not. No, are you getting my point? You know, we just read something, we get so used to reading it, we don't really understand that this in itself doesn't really make any grammatical sense. What he was saying, in effect, he was just referring to this scripture, that he made his soul an offering for sin. Are you getting my point? That is, I told you something, that sin must be cleansed. Are you getting my point? And, you know, if you go and read Leviticus chapter 4, if you read through it, there are a lot of sacrifices. And there, it talked extensively about a sin sacrifice. If the priest were to sin unknowingly, before he offers sacrifices, he must offer sacrifice for himself. Now, he was explaining a lot of things about that. But there was something he kept on saying again and again. When he talked about a goat, it must be without blemish. When he talked about a lamb, it must be without defect. When he talked about an ox, it must be without any defect. What he was saying is that there must be no sin. And you have to understand this. This was a type of Jesus Christ. All these things were types of Jesus Christ. And he said all of them will be made offerings for sin. Are you getting my point? So he was not talking about Jesus. That God made his soul an offering for sin. And that's what Paul was referring to, that he made him an offering for sin. Are you getting my point? Who knew no sin? Because there was no deceit found in his mouth, and there was no guile. Now, you have to get this point very clear, because there was something about Jesus Christ. The Bible said that he walked in the manner, and in his footsteps, he left us an example to follow. Do you get my point? He left us an example to follow. There are times, I don't know whether to go into this or not, we're still talking about when things don't work. Are you getting my point? People will tell you that our father has spoiled the country. Listen, the son that will repair what the father has spoiled will suffer some of the consequences of the sins of the father, despite the fact that he was not the one that did it. It is called making his soul an offering for sin. The man who wrecked Nepal, so Nepal is not working, he's dead and gone. Do you understand my point? The young men and young women who will repair it will suffer lack of light. Listen, these are spiritual principles. Christians must never give this impression that we have a right to enjoy. Now, I'm not saying you don't. But that is what, look, you see, there are things that Jesus gave you as your right. Maybe if we get there, he said that worthy is the Lamb to receive glory and honor and power and wealth. But check out Paul, he was worthy to receive beating and thrashing and travails and capsizing of boats. Because the lamb was sleeping? No. Paul said, I am feeling in my flesh that which is lacking in the sufferings of Christ. First time I read that, I thought Paul was mental. Are you following the point I'm making here? That is, when you suffer travail, when you suffer affliction, because certain things, in quote again, don't work. Are you getting my point? It's called making your soul an offering for sin. Because that is the pathway to making the things work. I'm bringing out the point. Because when he did like this, the Bible says, if you read Philippians chapter 2, let's just go there. We're trying to scroll the scriptures. Let's quickly go there. Philippians chapter 2. Let me start from verse 3. He said, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude. Now, is he talking about the same thing? That this issue of doing nothing from selfishness, not looking merely for your own personal interests, but for the interests of others. He said, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, that is, held on to. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a bond servant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in the... he emptied himself, taking the form of a bond servant, and being made in the likeness of men. He said, being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death upon a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What am I going to explain? Notice that verse 9 says, because of this, for this reason, God highly exalted him. I kept on saying this in previous times, and I want to emphasize it again. When Jesus walked on earth, he walked simply as a man. You know, all this theory about he was fully God, it was no. He said it clearly. He said he emptied himself of that thing called equality with God. You understand my point? And then he now began to reach out for it as a man. You are not following the point I'm making here. That is, as a man, he was now reaching for a particular position. And God said, this is the only way you will get there. That was why he told James and John. Let's quickly read that one again, just to get our scriptures references correctly. Mark chapter 10. Let's just read Mark chapter 10. Verse 35. James and John, these two sons of Zebedee, came up to Jesus, saying, teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And he said to them, what do you want me to do for you? They said to him, grant that we may sit, one on your right and one on your left, in your glory. But Jesus said to them, you do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? And they said, we are able. He said, the cup that I drink, you shall drink, and you shall be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized. But to sit on my right or my left, this is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared. Now, let me just quickly explain a few points about that. Now, they wanted positions of authority. Are you getting my point? Let's bring it down again to today. They wanted to be MDs of companies. They wanted there to be general overseers of very, very great denominations. They want to be prophets that everybody love and respect. They wanted to be important people in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And he said, it is not a matter of desire. Are you getting my point? It is a matter of qualifying for a position that was prepared. There are a number of things I wanted to note here. He said, he never said to them, there is no position on my left or position on my right. He didn't dispute that fact. He said, I know there is a position there, but for men to sit in it, they have to qualify. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. There's something about the redemption of mankind that God planned, that there will be a Lamb of God was prepared long before this creation. But the person who will be the Lamb of God had to fulfill certain characteristics. Number one, he had to be without blemish. Are you following my point? And number two, he had to be one willing to lay down his life for his brethren. There was one scripture we read which I have not finished commenting upon. When Jesus said, the prince of this world is coming, but he has nothing in me. What he was saying, that a man does not die this kind of death, which is empowered by the prince of this world, the ruler of this world, without having seen, are you getting my point? Without having a place for this spirit to hold on to in his case. So he said, he told his disciples, for that reason, I have to warn you ahead of time that despite the fact that I do not have anything, I am laying down my life. That is, I don't have any reason for the prince of this world to hold on to me and kill me the way you are going to see it happen. He said, I am laying down my life because I love the Father and I obey his commandments. I'm bringing out something. That's why when I went to Philippians chapter 3, God said, that was what I looked at. And then gave him a name that is above every name. That was what I looked at. You know, I'm trying to emphasize the fact that Jesus emptied himself and walked as a man. And he was walking in a manner that we should follow his footsteps. Do you follow my point? Do you know the interesting part? It is not everything that is your right that you are supposed to claim. Do you understand my point? Paul will say it expressly, that certain things were our right, but claiming our right will hinder the spread of the gospel of God. Therefore, we left it. Are you getting my point? That's why Paul was explaining Philippians here, that you have to learn not to walk from seeking your own interest, but seeking the interest of others. And that was how Jesus walked. That yes, now we didn't have any sin, nothing. Now we have lived in peace. We have attained, physically speaking, on the earth, equality with God. Therefore, what are we supposed to do? Enjoy, enter into rest and enjoy. God now said, there's one more assignment I have for you. He said, what is it? I want you to carry the sin of the whole world. I told you the meaning of that word is that there is punishment for sin. There's what the Bible calls a just recompense of reward. That everything that mankind has done and they will yet do, I want you to bear the penalty. It wasn't easy. There's something I want you to understand about the life of Jesus Christ. He didn't just wake up one day knowing the end from the beginning. No. The Bible says that he increased in wisdom and in knowledge, in stature, in favor with God and with men. You have to understand that favor with God comes as a result of understanding. Are you getting my point? The way of the transgressor is hard. A man of good understanding, the Bible says, he procures favor. You are following the point. That is, as he grew, he increased in knowledge and increased in understanding. So I'm bringing out the point to you here. He walked in life and God will have discussions with him. And this is the next phase I want you to do. This is the next thing I want you to do. And when God brought up that issue, it was, this is my personal opinion, it was on the Mount of Transfiguration. Because you will see that he was having discussion with Moses and with Elijah. And when he came down, instantly he began to tell the disciples about what will befall him in Jerusalem. That was when he found out. You are getting my point? That was when he found out. And so it was a difficult thing. So he said that, is it not possible for us to escape and go to a more comfortable area? And then we'll still walk in the plan and promises of God. And God said, no. He said, okay, nevertheless, it's not my will, but yours that should be done. I'm explaining something. That was what finally qualified him for the highest position. So he said, therefore, God highly exalted him. Now, I'm trying to bring this down to our personal lives. That was, he left us examples to walk in his footsteps. Now, he will now turn to James and John and said, you want positions of authority in life. I told you, position of authority is not imaginary. There are different positions in life. All right? All of them positions of authority. And remember the Christian mentality about position of authority. God commanded the kings of Israel, you must not multiply wealth, you must not multiply wives, you must not multiply goods, you must not multiply land, you must not multiply anything, but just because you are king. You are supposed to be one in service to the people. So he said, there are positions of authority. So each position must be qualified for. That's the point I'm making. So he turned to James and John. He said, how do you qualify? He said, you drink the cup that I am drinking. And he said, no problem. Now let me tell you what, that is a pattern for every Christian. Do you follow my point? Before you enter any position, you have to drink certain cups. Now I'm not scaring you. Do you follow what I'm saying? I'm not trying, you know. But I'm trying to get your mentality right. That the fact that things don't work, and you're supposed to endure things that don't work, is called pouring down, that's making your soul an offering for sin. Do you follow my point? That is the ability of a man to endure this pouring forth of his soul as an offering for sin. The Bible says that is what qualifies him. Do you get my point? To become the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the people in that area. Oh, I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. Listen, each position existed before people were born. And what men do by their lifestyle is to qualify for that particular position. And that's what God was trying to, and Jesus was trying to explain to James and John here. That listen, boys, desire is good. But having known your desire, then I take you through processes. And you want a position on my left and on my right, that's a high one. Then you have to drink identical cups to the one I'm going to drink. Do you understand my point? Let's get back to the Lamb of God. So he said, this Lamb of God, why is he so honored? Let's get back there. Revelation chapter 5. He said, worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Now verse 12 says, for that reason also, you are worthy to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Do you follow what I'm saying? That is, before anybody can, because you have to get this point, please, that everything that Jesus did, I told you something before, that when we're talking about, did I talk about sufferings of Job? I talked about sufferings of Job at different times. That this is what God does. There's a blessing that I call the blessing of Job. All right? That's conferred upon every believer that has done certain things as far as God is concerned. Now, that blessing comes to not everybody. Now, what gives you the blessing of Job is the suffering of Job. Do you follow my point? But you know, there's something about God. Job suffered as an example, not just for mankind, but for the spirits also to understand. Are you following my point? Therefore, every man that follows the path of Job, without traveling the long road that Job went through, gets the blessings of Job because, you are getting my point? Because he has already put his foot on the path of Job. And what God does is he will say, that, have you considered my servant? Are you following my point? You know, Satan had a discussion with God about it. So what God will say this time around, that once a man does something right at the beginning, God will say, this was the way it was with Job, thus far and no further. Are you getting what I'm going to say? But at the beginning, he must learn the principle behind the sufferings of Job. You understand what I'm saying? In the same manner, when he's going to enter into glory, using the case of Jesus Christ now, the same thing happens. God will also make demands of him. Are you getting me? Now, he may not be flogged publicly, stripped naked, and hung on the cross. But there are times he endures adversities as a true soldier of Christ. Do you get my point? Now, it's how he behaves in the times of adversity that now decides whether God will lift him up. Are you following my point? Or God will bring him down. I'm explaining something here, that the positions that people fit into, all right, were prepared. No, positions that people seek to occupy were prepared before they were born. The only thing they just do is to qualify for those positions. And how do they qualify? That's what I'm trying to explain. In all of these I'm saying, it is not that every time, like I said, they take a nation as an example, that yes, the father spoils, you know what I mean, the country. Yes, but the effect of the spoiling is borne by the people that will repair it first. That is, they bear the effect. Are you getting my point? It's how they respond as a consequence of, what that thing brings out from inside them. That's what decides whether they will become the leaders of tomorrow or they will not be. Are you getting my point? It's not just a man who don't chop, don't feel very, very happy. Just say, go, just give me position to be uttering forth words that will be repairing things. Remember what I said about the power that sustains, that there is a power in every position, and what God said they should do is to use it, you follow my point, to uphold certain things. But before you get that power, is what I'm talking about. You will probably have suffered the problems caused by the lack of proper use of that power. Do you understand my point? Listen, let me just say this clear. Escapist mentality is not the passport to prosperity. At all. Never. No. Remember the case of, did we make this? Or those that the pigeon said. And the guy said, did we make Trafalgar Square also? That is, wherever you claim you are even running to, where it is better. God says, somebody also made it. Somebody sustains it by his power. There are people sustaining things by the power that they have received by virtue of the position they are occupying, which they attained by virtue of the fact that they were ready to have their lives poured forth as a sin offering. I'm getting a wrong mentality out of our hearts and putting the proper one into it. Now, you know the interesting part? What I wanted to talk about was Jesus Christ and the Lamb of God and let us go away. All right? But, well,
Please, I hope you are getting the point I'm making. Let me now summarize everything I have said. Now, we started by saying that sin, now that we discussed that before, sin has effects, and effects include staining things and shunting the blessing of God from coming down from the heavens. We have established that. That before creation, the person who will wipe away that the effect of sin to qualify for that position, that the position was made, and God gave certain parameters by which somebody will qualify for it. And that when people qualify for positions, we should understand as believers that when you attain that position, is to give you another opportunity to qualify for the next. That it appears that the life of a Christian is a servant life from the beginning to the end. That is, everything that you do in life, you have acquired the ability, like receive power, to be able to do more things for the people. That is what God did in the case of Joseph, was to give him power and glory and honor and riches and might. At the end of the day, he used all of that to preserve the lives of not only the Egyptians, but of those of his brethren that came from afar. Are you getting my point? So I want us to understand that in life, anything that you are dreaming about, anything you wish to attain in life, listen, every day what God is doing is to enable you, that give you the opportunity to qualify for it. And how do you qualify for it? That you are willing to have your life poured forth as an offering for sins. When I say sin, now remember what I said. Sin is not just a matter of somebody did something that is wrong. No, that when something wrong is done, it leaves an effect, like, let me use the word, permanent, that has to be cleansed by the blood of somebody else. You follow the point I'm making here? So what one does to qualify for a bigger position in life is to walk with God, and God will lead you to places where nobody you cause the problem, but now you go solve them. Are you getting my point? And it's going to cost you. And people will say, your friends here are enjoying. After all, you didn't make this or make those. You follow my point? You didn't start all these problems. He said, no, it's called pouring forth your soul as an offering for sin. That this is what men do when they are yet young. And then a time will come, God will lift them up. And there's a warning I just added to that. When God does that, he's not saying, now relax, you can enjoy. He said, no, what you did in a small level, I gave you a small talent, you turned it tenfold. Now I'm making you a lord over 10 cities. What you did in a small level, I now want you to do it in a bigger fashion. Do you understand the point? All right, I think I've made my point. Let us pray. Slide, come, you come and do that for me.